It took a while. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining this little talk on Pipesa. My name is Lukas Trippel. I'm research software engineer at TU Berlin and at Tom Brown's group, who is leading the development at Pipesa since now 10 years. Let me give you a very quick introduction what is Pipesa doing and energy system modeling in general before I start with what is new in version 1.0. What Pipesa users are interested in is basically understanding all the dynamics of a large-scale energy system. And especially if we have tons of renewables in there, they have a lot of spatial and temporal dynamics. They're not available all the time. We have load and demand, which could change. We have, if we are running a sector coupled model, we have the transmission, the transport sector, heat sector, all could be linked to the electricity sector. And there are many, many feedback loops. And if I want to know, oh, what is the technology now I could invest in and which is cheap, I also have to check what are the other technologies which I could invest in. And that's why you always have to look at the full system. And what we are often doing is just dumping all of those various constraints and various objectives in a single objective function and then optimize that by operating costs and capex. So operating costs, what does it cost to run my system, and capex, oh, what can I do to invest in new technologies, which technologies should I use there? And this is then constrained to many, many things, like availability of wind and solar, install capacity, but could also be like policies, oh, I have to meet 30% of CO2 reduction until a specific year. And this is what Pipesa is basically made to help you with. And it stands for Python for Power System Analysis, but these days it's more Python for Energy System Analysis, and also includes sector coupling. So it also handles industry, so you could even add materials in there. It's fully written in Python. Some would argue that Julia, or yeah, using Julia is faster. We always build this very large optimization problem and then spend most of the time solving it actually in the solver. So the compute is not too much too important, and also memory peaks and everything is all handled by the solver. And the advantage of Python is that it's very accessible. All the data we use in Pipesa is stored in Pandas, so most of our users are either from research but also from industry, but are not no software engineers. And Pandas is very easy for them to handle. Yeah, and yeah, it's very highly customizable, but this is just the framework. What you need to run Pipesa models, so any energy system model, is tons of data. Here I just choose the prettiest plots. On the left side, we see Germany, and there the installed transmission capacities, installed transport, and installed power plants, and also some industry locations. The transmission capacities are actually data from the OSM talk, if you joined that earlier. On the other side, we see weather data, which needs to be translated into energy system data, so how much power could I produce at a specific location. Here you also see all those different dynamics, and they also vary across time and space, and also wind and solar are handled differently. And there, the Pipesa ecosystem is helping you out, because Pipesa is the framework which helps you to build this optimization model. There are also other data libraries like AdLight, which does the conversion of weather data into energy system data. There's power plant matching, which is basically a deduplication software for power plant data sets. And there are many different Pipesa workflows. The Pipesa workflow could be something like Pipesa UR or Pipesa Earth. And what is happening there is basically that all the data which is used or needed for Pipesa is handled in a specific workflow, and then all the retrieving and the processing of that data is then dumped into one of the models, and then you can configure, oh, how do you want to cluster, you can add your own workflows. And this is just what users came up with. We at TU Berlin are maintaining Pipesa UR. Pipesa USA is done by some people from Stanford. Pipesa Earth is done by the Pipesa Meets Earth initiative. There's also multiple models for Great Britain. There's one for South America, South Africa. There's a New Zealand version. So there are many, many different models. And also, Pipesa is quite battle-tested already. They have tons of applications. Either people build their own model on their own with the Pipesa framework, or rely on one of those existing workflows and then made some changes to it. We have not a full list of users. We can't have a full list of users. This is just an chosen publications. If you check the docs, we try to keep a long list there. And if you are interested in what other people did with Pipesar, you can get some inspiration there. And as already said, it was developed since quite a while, 10 years now. Actually, last week was the 10 years anniversary of our first public release. And version 1.0 just came out October last year. There's not really a reason why we waited so long. We just never did the jump. But now, since it was such a long release, we added tons of new features and did a full refreshment of the tool. One of the biggest new features is that that we now support the stochastic optimization. The stochastic optimization allows you to handle uncertainty. Uncertainty, why are we even interested in that? You just need to check the news these days. Nobody knows what the US government is doing. You had the Russian invasion of Ukraine, where gas prices were raising, or all kind of prices. We know now that gas pipelines can just blow up. You could also have uncertainties like just policies. You do not know they plan to reduce emissions until 2050 by that amount, but it could change in the future. And this is all uncertainty you need to handle if I want to do an investment decision today. And you could do that quite okay already with Pipesar by just, you could use MGA, which is a niche feature in Pipesar, to dive in that solution space. You could use all those workflows where it's easy to define many different scenarios and then run them in parallel together. You could then do sensitivity analysis on them, but you will never get a single result which works across all of different scenarios. Until now, because Pipesar 1.0 now introduces stochastic programming out of the box, which basically just means you have to come up with a set of scenarios and their probabilities. Those probabilities need to be given. That could be for weather. They could be just given for like the chance of a weather event to happen. It could be if you want to hedge against very catastrophic but unlikely events, they would have a very low probability, or you just use a normal distribution. If this is what you need to define a set of scenarios, and when you do that, Pipesar will cast the full network, all parameters you have, and add a new scenario dimension to it. And that allows you then that all dispatch decisions you have, you can adjust in for each scenario. So I will come to an example in a second, but all decisions which are used for the operation of the network are then scenario specific. While investment decisions, so what in which technology do I even want to invest, is optimized across all of the possible scenarios. And yeah, it works out of the box with Pipesar in the API now. Let's look at a simple, small example where we have just a low, a medium, and a high gas price. And the probabilities are kind of similar. If we solve all of those scenarios individually and deterministic, we see if the gas price is low, we just go full on gas because it's the cheapest and nothing else can compete with that, and we have the lowest system costs. But if you go to the medium and the high gas price, we also mix in wind and solar, and for the high one, even lignite. But all of those work for the specific scenarios and are optimized for that specific scenario, but all of those are not optimized for each other. If we run the same model now stochastically, we include all of those three scenarios, and we see that the stochastic solution is of course not the best one in any of those scenarios, but it's the best one across all of them together. This is then just risk neutral optimization, and I hope I'm not losing everyone. But with neutral optimization is I do not care about which scenario actually happens. I just want to have the minimal cost across all of them. This is not how most people would actually behave. If I plan like battery storage, which costs $500 million in Sweden, I want to be sure that even for worst case scenarios, I don't go bankrupt. So I want to hedge against those worst case scenarios, which could be catastrophic to me. This is also possible in Pipesar now with the risk averse optimization, and this is included with the SIVA. So you can define, oh, you want to penalize the worst scenarios of your optimization problem. And you don't have to define what are the worst scenarios. This is all handled by Pipesa itself. And yeah, one also just in the API, very easy to access. And if we see here the same optimization problem done with the with the SIVA attached, we see we pay a little of a premium because the system costs are a bit higher, but we are hedged against the high cost scenario better, and we have a better system which operates in this worst case scenario. This was a speedy one-off of only the stochastic optimization functionality we have now in Pipesa. There is much, much more with version 1.0. First of all, if you ever looked into Pipesa before October last year already, it's worth to look on it again because we have an all new documentation. And everything is freshed up and clean. And yeah, the quality of the documentation is very high now. We have other new features, a couple of plotting functionality. We don't have a GUI, what we saw earlier. GUI is still not a thing. There are developments on that as well, but it's very hard to find a single GUI for all those different ideas how Pipesa can be used. There is the plotting module, there's new interactive maps, there are new components classes, there's a network collection which makes it possible to compare different networks. Doesn't matter if they have multi-horizon, if they're stochastic, or if they just have a single temporal dimension. Those are all new features on Pipesa. It's worth to check out the new documentation. We have a large community on the Discord channel already. The link is missing, but you can reach it by just going on pipesa.org, and then the link you will find there. If you have any questions, you can reach out now or just join one of those channels. Is it either Discord, the documentation, or GitHub? Yeah, and that's Pipesa V1, the speed version. You can use it for medium low voltage as well. We don't do that. The question is, can you use it for medium and low voltage levels as well? Yes, you can do that. We are not doing that too much. We mainly look on those very large capacity expansion problems, and there you are not too much interested in that because then the models get too complex. But you could also run Pipesa for low voltage or even at home to run energy management at back home with the battery. So that's possible. What's coming next? Version 1.1 next week probably. But after that we have plans on doing more of the GUI stuff where it's also easier to run Pipesa models and then easier to run all those different existing workflows we have already. But no announcement, so.
About these uncertainties, let's say I would have a flooding map about Germany and the risk of flooding of different areas, would this directly work with Pipesa in the current way, or how would I get such a map into this optimization? Is this already supported, or?
It depends on what you want to do with the flooding map. Flooding map, one example is in a volcano where you have a volcano eruption and then the solar capacity is lower. That's easy to integrate. Yeah. A flooding map, the modeler then has to decide what is actually the impact on the system. Do power plants fell out or do, so what, it's possible, but it's up to the modeler basically. Sorry, again.
For example, my university, they want to figure out if they want to use a CHP or heat pump. Are there people who already bottled heat pump CHPs
that you can use? There is no, the question is, are there, I have to repeat the question. The question is, are there pre-existing components how to model heat pumps, for example? There are not. You have to come up with the version on how you embed them in Pipesa yourself right now. There are also plans on allowing you to have a components library where you can pre-select list of components you can then easily attach to a network. Currently, that's not possible because currently there are also many different ways on how you could add them to the network. But it's possible to add, it's just not trivial. Yeah. Yeah.
Is the package developed by software developers or academics, and how is that collaboration
between
the two perspectives?
The mix is quite wild. So I am a software developer and working only as a software developer now for the package, but I'm the first one. Before, it was basically mainly postdoc and PhD driven. But I wouldn't say they don't have software development knowledge, but it's research-driven and they came from energy system modeling and not from software engineering. We have broadened this up and we also get many, many more contributions. It's not just our university working on that. There are other institutions which sometimes have more software engineering knowledge. Yeah. Otherwise, that wouldn't be possible. So far, it works quite well. The question is, you are always really relying on a couple of core people who have the big brain and know everything, and it's hard to get new people on board. And that takes a lot of time and then resources, and then you need the funding as well. So community contributions, we have a lot, but it's hard to get community contributions which are like complex topics like stochastic optimization.
Okay. Thank you.